Hey everyone, welcome back to the 443 Security Simplified. I'm your host, Mark the Liberty, and joining me today is not Corey Knockreiner. Ryan, you want to say hey?
The improved version, Corey Knockreiner, Ryan Estes.
There we go. Today, we are sitting down with WatchGuard's resident ransomware expert to talk all things ransomware. I guess with that, let's go ahead and encrypt our way in.
Let's do it.
Yikes. So, Ryan, I want to start today's episode by plugging a really cool tool that you not only just like came up with, but spearheaded the development of and are currently like the lead maintainer of it. So for folks that aren't familiar with it yet, on WatchGuard, under our WatchGuard security hub on WatchGuard.com, we have a WatchGuard ransomware tracker, as we're calling it. And Ryan, you want to give maybe a quick overview of like what it is, what's on it, and what the plans are for the future, maybe?
Yeah, so it started out as a side project because I was just writing blog posts and wanted to, you know, track, you know, all the ransomware that was going on, you know, who they were, where they're coming from, what they did. So I had a giant Excel sheet that just tracked all the ransomware and all the details about it. And eventually I was like, hey, you know, this could be useful. So I pitched it to you and the team, of course. And it kind of just evolved into what it is now. It's on the WatchGuard website and just adding to it, make it better. It's currently in beta. So just getting all the ransomware-based entities and encryptors and all that and just adding to it as we go. It's kind of like a wiki, if you will.
It's pretty awesome. Like, so it includes info like affiliates of different ransomware threat actors, like extortion links, decryptors, whether a decryptor is available, even like information, not like the names of victims, but like information about victims that have been targeted.
And yeah, so victims is going to be the only thing we kind of mask because we don't want to just put people on blast. But everything else is kind of free game. You know, their crypto ransomware or their crypto wallets, post that, their tox or any communication methods, their emails, aliases, pretty much anything is fair game besides victim names, which we do track the victim names, but they're masked. We don't publish those.
Yep. My favorite part, so you track the types of extortion that they do?
Yeah, that's one of the most interesting ones for sure.
Wasn't there one you pointed out to me about they would like literally threaten to hire a hitman and come murder you if you don't pay the extortion demand?
Yeah, I think it was more of a threat. I don't think it actually happened, but that was the Bloody, aptly named the Bloody ransomware group that were talking about, you know, hiring a hitman to get their money from someone. And so that was added to an extortion type. If it happens or is a threat, it's added to it. So we have about, I think, 20, 25 extortion types now and more every day. I think I just added the Alpha group or Black Cat, as they're most known as. They reported to the SEC, a company that they breached, and said, hey, we know they got breached because we did it. So they report them to the SEC. So I added, you know, regulatory, I think it's called regulatory something, you know.
Complaint?
Yeah, regulatory complaint, something like that.
That's insane. Just added. Well, anyways, if you're interested in the ransomware tracker, you can probably just Google WatchGuard ransomware tracker, and we are the top result there. Otherwise, search for the security hub on WatchGuard.com, and it's one of the items linked off there. So for today, Ryan, I brought you on because you are our resident ransomware expert. Not because, you know, you're an operator, but because you are firmly ingrained in researching ransomware threat actors and the different variants that are going on and stay finely tuned into their different, what do we call them, hit lists or victim notification blogs or whatever?
Yeah, there's not really a name for it. We can go with that.
Sure. And so today I wanted to, there's been a bit of a rash of recent ransomware news that you've been sharing with the team, and I thought it'd be fun to get you on and chat about some of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And
the first one I think we should cover is a ransomware group that I had never heard of until a couple of days ago when you brought it to our attention. And that was, oh man, how do you, Moglevich?
Moglevich, yeah. Moglevich, but it's Moglevich, really.
Moglevich, okay. Yeah. You want to give a quick background on like who they are and kind of how they came to your line of sight?
Yeah, so Moglovich is actually a fraudster, a notorious transnational crime boss, but also they're in the name of some ransomware group that just popped up maybe 3 weeks ago or so, mid-February, late February. Yeah, they just popped up out of nowhere. I saw people start to talk about them on, you know, the community, research community. And I was like, this group kind of seems full of crap because they started posting right away big names without, you know, a sample or a ransom note or any hashes or data or pretty much anything. They just said, hey, we breached them. I was like, okay. And then they started publishing big names like Kik and Sheen and DJI, the drone company, and Infinity USA, the Bangladesh police. So just all big names. And just started getting a hunch that, you know, they were full of crap. And yeah, they eventually were. So
I guess pausing for a second, like normally ransomware operators, they've got their little victim blog where they talk about who they've, the latest company that was breached. Do they typically provide some sort of proof on there?
Yeah, they'll provide like a few files or like a file directory saying, hey, this is what they look like. We're proving to you that we breached them and we have this data without giving you all the data, because that's how they make their money, is either ransom extortions directly from the victim or they sell it to other criminals or whoever wants it, whatever, something like that.
Okay. Makes sense. And so in this case, I remember you pointed out they claimed they had hacked Epic Games as well, too. So the makers of Fortnite and quite a few other very popular games said they stole like 200 gigabytes of internal data, including like email addresses and payment card information, too. Mm-hmm. And Epic came out afterwards saying, we're investigating, but so far we found zero evidence for this at all.
Yep.
And you want to maybe fill us in on what happened after that? And how the cat got let out of the bag?
Yeah, so they published Epic Games, which immediately I'm like, bull crap, because there was no data with it. And they actually posted an update to that post saying, like, you know, we have this, we're going to sell it, blah, blah, blah. And Epic Games came back and said, no, there's no intrusion. And so maybe a few days ago, a week or so ago, they posted again saying, here's the data, blah, blah, blah. And so when you click on that post, it actually was a text file saying, nah, we're just kidding. We're a bunch of fraudsters and we tricked a bunch of people into other criminals that wanted the data or access to a ransomware panel that didn't exist. They tricked them. So they actually ransomed other criminals instead of the victims they claimed. So whole fraud syndicate worthy of the Moglovich name.
It's technically still cybercrime, but this was cybercrime that preyed on other criminals. And so like morally, I feel like, you know what? Sure. Go for it.
Morally. Yeah.
Cause so the note that you're highlighting, the first couple of sentences were pretty funny. They go, unfortunately, this link led you to an important announcement of our business instead of evidence of a breach database. You may be wondering why all this, and now I'm going to explain everything you need. In reality, we are not a ransomware as a service, but professional fraudsters. Yeah. And they like went on to talk about how they like tricked people out of like one person out of $85,000 allegedly. Someone went to go buy the DJI leak data and they ended up getting talked down from $100,000 and said, okay, sure. How about we'll sell it for you for $85,000 and basically just stole their money. Like,
yeah, they did exactly what they usually do, which is why they were probably tricked into it. They were just selling the initial access or the data to that company. And someone's like, okay, I'll buy it, whatever. But yeah, that ransom note or that letter that you were just talking about and kind of the description of what it was is actually on our ransomware tracker. So if you want to check that out,
nice.
It's on there. It's all on there.
What's your thoughts on Iran, like hackers hacking hackers, or not even hacking, in this case, just straight up fraudster? I don't know. I'm curious what your thoughts are.
I think it's kind of a wash because, I mean, yeah, morally, I guess it's right because they're taking down people who are going to commit more crime, but it's still illegal at the end of the day. And what everyone's doing is illegal. I don't think it's going to stop anyone from doing it more. It's just going to make people more cautious. The cyber criminals more cautious of who they're dealing with, which I don't think is a pro or a con, to be honest. I think it's just kind of how the landscape works. So
the answer then is everyone here sucks. Basically.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's pretty much the ransomware game. It's all about trust and anonymous trust and who's breaking that trust and who has it. And it's pretty much all it is just trust. It's a trust game.
And I guess now, you know, hindsight is 2020, but naming themselves Moglovich after a famous fraudster feels a little on the nose now in hindsight.
Very fitting of the name. He's a fraudster. They're fraudsters. So if he was behind it, I don't know. I mean, he's very connected guy. He's been around Russia, Ukraine, Israel since like the 70s and 90s and kind of flourished when the fall of the Soviet Union, 91. So that's when he kind of started really picking up. But he's in Russia now and hiding out. He's still wanted. So,
oh, dang.
Yeah.
That's that I'm guy. Sure that that country will fully comply with any extradition treaties with Western countries.
Yeah, well, they don't have one. So Russia exactly. doesn't have one. And apparently he's friends with Putin. So that's a double whammy. It's not going to happen. Uh-huh.
Yep. Anyway, so speaking of trust, so you mentioned Alf-V and Black Cat just a bit ago.
Alpha.
Yeah. Is that, how do you pronounce like Alpha?
It's technically Alpha. Yeah, that's how they pronounce it.
Upside down A. That's where the V comes out.
I mean, they're also known as Black Cat. Nobris is another popular name. And some people just call them Alf-V. Yeah. But it's technically Alpha, I'm pretty sure.
Some people, me included, apparently. And so we actually talked about them on the podcast actually a while ago now with a recent takedown. But 2 weeks ago, they had a pretty substantial ransomware attack against Change Healthcare, one of the largest U.S. healthcare payment processors. That this one made the news because it took down a bunch of pharmacies, a bunch of healthcare providers, and made it difficult for, I think it was like Optum as the parent company, to even fill like mail order subscriptions.
I believe it was United Health.
Yeah. Pretty nuts. So, Ryan, what's the news on this one that you wanted to share with us?
So the Alpha, the Change one. So apparently an affiliate of Alpha ransomed Change for $22 million, allegedly. We don't have proof. There is blockchain proof of $22 million being moved around. And we kind of assume that that's a ransom because $22 million just doesn't get moved around for no reason.
It's a lot of money.
So, it's fitting. The ransom is fitting for who it was. So it kind of makes sense. And they asked for these huge ransoms anyway. I think MGM, which is this, was breached by the same group, Alpha. They did a huge ransom like that too. So the news of this one is they basically, after they did this, they did an exit scam. So they acted like the FBI and law enforcement seized their domain, which they actually did a few weeks or a month or so ago. Their old one, they reopened and they act like this one was also seized. But based on pretty much what everyone's saying, and like you can go into the source code and see that like it doesn't look similar to other takedowns, you can kind of assume that this was an exit scam. And if you don't know much about ransomware operators, there's usually two ways out of the ransomware as a service industry. It's either getting arrested or exit scamming, you know, scamming other people and saying, bye, see ya. And so that's basically what they did. They're still not up. I've actually taken them off the active list this morning because pretty sure they exit scammed. And their Tox account, which is their Signal-like communication service end-to-end encrypted, they have a status, if you will, that says 5 million for our source code. So they're trying to basically sell their source code and get out of the game. But
interesting.
From previous experience, they're probably just going to rebrand and come back as something else.
Yeah, so there's a lot to unpack in this one. Like, so first off, you mentioned like checking out the source code for their website. I saw it was like some other researcher found that the way that the takedown notice was displayed on there, it looked like it had literally just been a file save website from some other takedown notice and pasted on top of it. Like that was a pretty immediate red flag.
Yep.
And you mentioned one of the affiliates. So they even posted on some underground forum basically saying, we got the $22 million from Change Healthcare, and then Alpha just disappeared. And they kept giving me the runaround. They wouldn't pay me out. They're scamming me. And they basically made off with it.
Yeah, I mean, after $22 million, they're probably like, see ya, we got what we wanted. And then they're trying to get $5 extra million for the source code, which I'm guessing they probably get something out of that, to be honest. So
on the takedown notice too, it listed a bunch of international agencies. Like it said it was FBI led, but then a whole bunch of other international ones. One of them was the UK National Crime Agency, who typically works alongside the FBI for these types of operations. Yep. But the UK NCA said, actually, you know, there was no such takedown. We had, or at least we had no part of it. And the FBI has declined to comment. So it does look like this is totally BS and they just took 22 million and ran.
Yeah. The other giveaway there is the NCAA, the only takedown they've been ahead of, from my knowledge, is the LockBit one that just happened. So they kind of sounds like they just copied that and pasted it, because it was a very unique takedown page too. So I don't remember exactly what it looked like, but I think it was the same. So
that would make sense. And I see what your point is, like, so in ransomware, and it feels like for ransomware operators, like you mentioned the LockBit takedown, which we'll talk about in a second, but I feel like federal law or international law enforcement agencies are getting better and better at these disruption efforts.
Yeah.
And we've even seen some folks arrested recently too, associated with LockBit specifically. So it seems like it's starting to get a little hot in the kitchen, and it makes sense why ransomware operators might be pausing and exiting out while the getting is still good. Mm-hmm. So fundamentally, it makes sense why they would steal $22 million and go bail, and then maybe in like 2 years come back under a different name.
Yeah, some groups have slowed down, but for the most part, it's kind of just the same besides LockBit and Alpha. But those were like the big two.
They were, right?
So it's good. It's good news.
Hey, you know, fewer ransomware operators is good. And this is another one where, you know, they scammed a affiliate and stole their money. And you know what? I'm going to say that's a net positive also, because that, in my hope, would discourage more affiliates from sticking their neck out, doing all the work, and then potentially risk just not getting any money out of it too. So, you know what? I'm happy for it.
Yeah, I think it's a net loss, because the $22 million still came out of the company. It's still real people that are getting affected. It's just more people that aren't good people are getting affected. So
that is a good point. Like, unfortunately, this means the administrators or developers at Alpha are probably buying new Ferraris in Moscow right now.
Yeah, unfortunately so. What can we do?
Which is pretty frustrating. But who knows? I know, like, Alpha is on the radar of the FBI. I'm willing to bet at some point they're able to at least unmask folks so they can never leave Russia again. I'm making assumptions that they're in Russia. They feel like that's probably a pretty fair assumption that they're in Russia.
Pretty fair assumption, yeah. I think Alpha had previous members from R-Evil or Conti, probably. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that off the top of my head. I don't want to say that, but I think so.
That would make sense. And it also makes sense what you said about them kind of bouncing back after the fact. I feel like it is still, unfortunately, a very lucrative business for these folks that have zero moral compass at all. And it's going to be tough to stay away from the opportunity to make millions again.
Yeah. And I mean, the folks that are in Russia, since there's no extradition treaty or whatever, I think they have more incentive to do it, because as long as they don't attack people in Russia, and this is why a lot of malware has code that does geolocation. It says, hey, if you're in the CIS countries, which is the Commonwealth of Independent States, AKA like the old Soviet Union, then they're like, okay, well, if you're not attacking us, we don't care. Go ahead. So,
yeah. So more that is the annoying thing with these kind of safe harbor areas for them. But on the flip side, as soon as they are unmasked and named by the FBI or other international law enforcement, you're never allowed to leave those countries again.
Yep.
Or you'll get instantly picked up.
That's how a lot of them get arrested at airports of different countries and stuff. So yeah, it happens all the time.
No more Greek vacations for these ransomware operators.
Good. Get them out.
So we mentioned the LockBit takedown. Do you want to maybe for this next one start with that that takedown that happened a couple of weeks back? And what happened there?
Yeah, that was Operation Kronos. I believe that's how you pronounce it. I did write a very detailed post on it, basically going through every single bit of the takedown, what it means, what it included, all the URLs, basically kind of relive going to the Tor website without going to it and get all the information. But yeah, it was a multifaceted, law enforcement agency from different countries takedown. That was a long time coming, to be honest. Everyone was like rejoicing when it happened. However, it didn't come with very many arrests. And apparently they don't know the identity of the operator who is in charge of it. So they came right back up after this disruption. They took down their infrastructure, but I think it was maybe 5 days, 4 days. They had everything back up, new Tor domain. However, their new victims they've been posting for the past 2 weeks have almost all been reposted. So they have no new victims. And so based on that, you can kind of judge that they've been disrupted pretty heavily and it's affecting them, which is good. But they still are operating in some capacity. But like I said earlier, it's a big trust game and they've lost a lot of trust. And there's even suspicion that maybe the operator behind it is FBI. So that's probably just, you know, getting the heebie-jeebies, getting scared. But that's what you want. As long as they don't have that trust, they're not going to be as effective. So
let's talk about that for a second. Like, I think a parallel to this is just dark web marketplaces. And so like looking back to the original Silk Road as an example.
Yeah.
Where it's run by a, I should probably remember their name. They're unfortunately in prison for the rest of their lives.
I don't remember his name either, though.
Fortunately or unfortunately, I guess, depending on how you look at it. But anyways, the FBI or law enforcement doesn't typically just take down the site. They take over the infrastructure first to gather as much information as they can over the course of another couple of weeks about the people using that site and that service. Mm-hmm. And then they do the takedown. And I think what you touched on there with Lockbit was like the law enforcement, when they did the takedown, they even defaced the affiliate portals and basically said, we've got all your info and we know who you've been attacking and we'll come see you soon, basically. Mm-hmm. And like that is, if I were an affiliate of a ransomware as a service, and I saw like that kind of message, that would give me the heebie-jeebies. Like,
yeah,
what? Because you don't know for certain how much info they actually have of your activities or your persona or whatever, and it could be a pretty big risk. And I could see why they might consider one of these operators resurfacing as a honeypot and not like actually the rebirth of the organization.
Yeah, and part of that takedown was they got the affiliate list. I think it was 194, something like that, 190-ish, of the affiliates that logged into it. So they know like the names, not the real names, the pseudonames and the acronyms or whatever they used. Mm-hmm. And so if they had any kind of slip up, if any of those affiliates had like a slip up in their own obscurity, then they are maybe in trouble.
It makes sense. Yeah. And so you mentioned they're back online, though. I saw like a news post on February 27th from Zscaler's Threat Labs, mm-hmm. where they had a copy of a brand new Lockbit ransom note that had a that new victim blog, was delivered by a brand new encryptor.
Yep.
I wonder, like, what's your opinion on this? The benefits of Lockbit coming back under the same name versus rebranding and coming back under something else? Because, like you said, it's all about trust. So at the end of the day, Lockbit was what, the largest or at least top three ransomware operator?
Yeah.
And so it makes sense why they might want to hold on to their name, because you know, they were there because they were effective. Like the ransomware they wrote, the infrastructure they had did a good job of being horrible to people. So there's like that. But then at the same time, you literally just got owned by the FBI and international law enforcement.
Yeah.
And maybe your name is now entirely tarnished. Do you have any like thoughts on, based off your experience on following ransomware operators and affiliates, like why they might have chosen to come back under Lockbit?
Yeah, it has to be because of their name. Like they're so well known, but also I'm actually very surprised they haven't rebranded or anything, because I mean, they're hot on their tail now. So everyone's thinking about it. And it makes me think that they almost have to be like state sponsored. Like they're just trying to get as much money, because they've made so much money they could retire and just see ya. I mean, they've made so much ransom demands and millions of dollars. So it just kind of surprised me they're actually still going under the Lockbit name instead of, you know, trying to rebrand and come back as something different, which is not that difficult to do, in my opinion.
Greedy. Sounds very greedy.
Yeah.
And I wonder.
Go ahead.
You mentioned in a message to me that they had stopped supporting like older versions of like InfoStealer and Encryptor as well too. Is that related to all this?
I believe part of the takedown was they got the source code to, I think it was called Steelbit, which is like their exfiltration Stealer tool. And then Lockbit 2.0, which is Lockbit Red, I think. Yeah. And so I think they have the source code and they can decrypt these on the fly.
Okay, that makes sense then.
For victims. So they're like, yeah, we're just not going to support it anymore. Which is kind of similar to what happened to Hive. They're basically what you were talking about. They took over their infrastructure instead of just, you know, going after them. And they would basically take the keys, the decryptor keys, and help victims out who were victims of Hive. And then, so eventually they were like, well, we're just shutting down, and they got taken over. And they've since rebranded into allegedly Hunters International, but Hunters themselves say that they bought the source code and they're not the same people, but who knows?
That's so interesting. Like the, like the ransomware drama on the underground.
It's just, it's a lot. It's a lot of information at once, because they're constantly, it's, my theory is it's like the same group of people just rebranding most of these groups. It's just the same group of people that are running everything. They just get affiliates, and these affiliates just get the money and the demands for them, and the people at the top just collect the money. That's my theory, is that it's just the same, you know, group, not the same exact group of like a few individuals, but it's like the same people over and over again doing the same things.
Which totally makes sense.
Theory.
Like, if you didn't have morals and you were greedy and you wanted more money, as soon as you get popped by law enforcement, just rebrand and come back a couple months later. And like, assuming you've got good OPSEC, no one's ever going to know that you are whoever that used to be.
Yeah, and it happens a lot. And that's the importance of when you see a takedown like this, if it comes with arrests and who those arrests are. So like, for example, Ragnar Locker got taken over maybe 5 months ago, 6 months ago. But that came with the arrest of the operators themselves. So Ragnar Locker is no more. Like, they're gone. And so are the operators. So the things like Hive Disruption, yeah, they took them down, but they didn't arrest the people responsible. So they're just going to keep going. And so it's two things. It's a takedown plus arrest. If you see just a takedown, probably going to come back.
And there were a couple of arrests for like affiliates of Lockbit during that takedown. But like you mentioned, like the DOJ right now is offering $15 million as a cash reward if they, for any information that leads to the arrest of the leader of Lockbit. So
yeah,
they're offering that much money. They probably don't have a strong lead right now.
I agree with that. And we thought they were, part of the takedown was like, who is Lockbit sup? And we're all waiting. It was the last post going to be released. I'm like, oh, I stayed up till midnight to wait for it. And they delayed it. Yeah, they were like, oh, he drives a BMW and he doesn't live in the Netherlands. I'm like, okay, thanks.
It really narrows it down. Yeah.
Jeez. My God. Yeah. But
it's, well, whatever. Man, so I guess like, I mean, these were the really big news articles or news pieces from the last few days. It's been a pretty busy month for the last month or so for ransomware operators and affiliates. Yes. I imagine your work is still cut out for you, Ryan, on keeping our ransomware tracker up to date with all the latest evolutions coming through.
Yeah, it's a full-time job. It's a side project, but a full-time job. But I'm working on automation. It's getting there. That's why it's in beta. And so once automation gets, we'll get more groups, more info, more whatever people want, really.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Ryan. I appreciate you taking some time to hop on here and chat ransomware with me.
Yes.
Maybe by this time next year, we'll be having to talk about how ransomware is all gone because no one has been paying ransom demands lately. And the world is all happy again.
I can dream. I can dream.
Highly doubt that is going to happen. But
I agree.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. As always, if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If you have any questions on today's topics or suggestions for future episode topics, you can reach out to us on Instagram at watchguard_technologies. Thanks again for listening, and thank you again, Ryan, for hopping on. And you will hear from us next week.
Yep. Thanks for having me.